Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin,
Sunny, and Brandy.
Welcome back, Sunny and Brandy, to the Bingeables Podcast. We are here to talk about the anime series Beastars, which is available on Netflix, and we're going to talk about season one.
Yay! Fun.
Woo! Sunny, would you like to give a spoiler warning for our audience?
Okay, so this episode will contain spoilers. You have been warned. Don't at us. Don't come for us. There are spoilers ahead.
All right, let's get into it. So we'll talk about the characters and some of their relationships with one another. And I think a good start is with Legoshi, the gray wolf. He's basically our main protagonist. And I guess I feel for him because he's so, like, introverted and quiet and reserved, and he's like going through all these struggles, and he narrates his thoughts. Well, I guess everybody narrates their thoughts. What am I saying? but he's not your typical wolf. He's not a trickster. He's not trying to be malicious. But because he's like really tall and big, everyone else who doesn't know him thinks that they're just kind of scared of him.
He's the proverbial big bad wolf, I guess. People see him as that, and he's the complete opposite in, you know, in regards to him being an introvert. I think he even has anxiety, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, I can see that in some parts. He does struggle with anxiety. I think he's also very naive, and it adds to his character. He's just was he like 17, 16 or 17?
I believe he's 17.
He's 17 and he's just like trying to figure out what it means to be an animal in this world. More specifically, like, how is he supposed to cope with his like carnivorous instincts and having to juggle that with his feelings for Haru and just mingling with his friends, some of which are herbivores as well.
Yeah. He's a lovesick 17-year-old. He, you know, falls in love with someone that he shouldn't fall in love with, like, by nature. It's just not supposed to work.
It's weird.
It's weird. And how he first, like, came in contact with her when he smelled her, and then, like, his senses went off, and he was like, ooh, this is prey.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know, like, I thought it was over for her when I first saw it, because that was, like, in episode one or two, I believe. I thought it was over for her.
Oh, yeah, it was at the end of one.
At the end of one, right, when he was hanging on to her, and it was so weird. I was like, what is happening to this guy? Like, he's never been around rabbits before or something. Like, why is he losing his shit?
Well, okay, so he basically, at that point, was trying to fight the urge to, as they call it, devour. Mm-hmm. Because in their world, it's illegal. And you're not supposed to be devouring.
No devouring.
And the carnivores are not supposed to devour the herbivores. And I feel like he was just like, why, you know, I know this is wrong, but I can't help myself. And so he had to suppress that urge to just basically swallow her whole.
It's rough out there.
It's rough being a wolf.
The funny thing is that there, like, there's so many carnivores and there's so many herbivores, but for some reason Legoshi is the one that they're afraid of. I'd be more afraid of a tiger than a wolf, but
Fucking weasel walking around. I don't know what you're so upset about.
I just, you know, it's weird how the dynamic is be afraid of the wolf, but don't be afraid of the gigantic cat with claws and teeth too, you know?
Right? I hated Bill. Oh my god. And I think you're supposed to hate him.
Yeah,
but...
he sucks. He sucks.
Oh, since we brought up Bill, how did you feel about their fight scene? Quote unquote fight scene on the stage.
Oh my gosh. The funny thing is, I just happened to rewatch that episode and I was like, it was because he was like, well, you know, we don't have to hold back since we're both carnivores, you know? And when Legoshi found out that Bill was doping with rabbit's blood or whatever, he was pissed, you know?
Well, he was pissed because it was rabbit. And yeah. He had smelled rabbit blood.
Yeah. If it was weasel blood or if it was
squirrel blood.
Yeah, he might not have had the same reaction.
Yeah, but he went to town on him. I thought he'd put him in the ground. He was just punching the living daylights out of him. Just pound, pound, pound. And everyone's just standing there, sitting there watching it happen.
Yeah.
Like it was art or something. And I was just like,
this is a fight.
This is a fight. And
it's real.
It was crazy.
It's blood.
Only in anime. Oh man, yeah. Also, the way Bill like scratched his claws into Legoshi's back on stage, oh, that was intense.
It's a creep.
Exactly. And that's what I mean, like in nature, in actual nature, a tiger, I think, would dominate the hell out of a wolf.
Right. I think that's why they probably let it go on for as long as it did on stage. We're like, that's a tiger. That tiger went tiger.
Like he, he, you know, cause he did like, they, I guess, you know, could figure out their stats before they got into a fight. So yeah. He's like, I should back off or I should, you know, I can take this guy. But the dynamic between them two was just like, well, I'm going to be the head carnivore. No, I'm going to be... Well, Legoshi doesn't really care, but...
No, he doesn't.
Bill was like, it's going to be me. Like, me.
I'm going to make this political. I think Legoshi was like, Rabbit Lives Matter. You know what I'm saying? She's like, Rabbit Lives Matter, man. Like, I'm going to fight this fight for you. But, I mean, like you said, Bill's a dick. And the fight scene, I mean, it was interesting because there wasn't a lot of action in the anime. You know, there wasn't a lot of fight scenes, there wasn't a lot of action scenes. So they gave us that, so it was nice.
Yeah.
Because then there's another fight scene later on that's...
I like a lot of action. Like, when I watch anime, I like a lot of action. I like fighting, I like jutsus, I like all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's... Okay.
Yeah, I know it's different. These are...
Well, no, because, like, I prefer to watch vampire anime. So, you know, that's obviously completely different than what Beastars is. And it's completely different than what, like, Dragon Ball Z and Naruto are.
Right.
So, you know, I think everybody has their thing. For Beastars, I don't know if I actually needed the fight scene in the play. The fight scene later on in the season, you know, was like, that was a good fucking fight scene. I was like, okay, I'm into this. Let's do this.
Can we get more?
Let's get these lions. That panda, he was a badass, you know, so.
Oh, man, how can I forget about the panda? He was badass and, like, so ripped.
Yeah, right? Scar.
Oh, man. Like, all I eat is bamboo, but it's also, like, my arrows.
Yeah.
shooting bamboo arrows. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous, but badass. I don't know. Like, you're in the zone, and then you just love it. Yeah. I liked the panda, because he was a good mentor for Legoshi to understand his, like,
urges.
Carnivore nature, yeah.
Yeah.
He gave him the rabbit porn.
But here's the thing.
Oh man, the rabbit porn.
Pandas eat bamboo. They're actually herbivores.
He was just like, hey, do you eat eucalyptus? Like, what do you eat? You eat bamboo? What do you do? He's like, I'm a fucking panda bear.
Koalas eat eucalyptus.
Yeah, sorry, I got my bears confused.
They're not actually marsupials. Shut up. Sorry.
Damn it, I don't want to know the truth. How dare you?
There's one episode that I want to talk about really quick. This is back to Legoshi and Bill. It really creeped me out. It's the one where they go to the black market for carnivores and they come across that homeless, elderly goat. The goat that was, homeless and he was selling his fingers.
Yeah.
So he could, yeah. That was so creepy. And of course, Bill's a dick, like you said, so he's all up about that. And Legoshi's like, no, is this what it means to grow up and be a carnivore? I don't want this.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. It actually reminded me of another, I think a movie that I saw or something. And I can't remember what it is, but basically, like, that's how they survive, because I'm homeless, I have no money, but I can give you something of value to you. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I do need a finger, but I'll give it to you because I'm broke. Like, it's really weird. And I can't remember what it was that I saw, but I was like, oh my God, like, this is a total dystopian situation right here. Like, the heck was that stupid movie with Jason Momoa and Wasteland, I think it was called.
I don't know.
Jason Momoa.
I don't know.
And that British girl. Can't remember.
And that British girl.
There's so many.
Yeah. But in that movie, citizens are basically, they're tossed into this wasteland where there are these people. It's kind of like a Mad Max situation, but there are people who are cannibals, and they capture newly banished people, and they eat their limbs, and it's like Suki Waters.
Oh no,
Suki Waterhouse, that's her name. And it's just really weird, and it just reminded me of that. Like, you could actually sell your limbs to these cannibals, and I was just like, wow, that's weird.
Interesting. Okay, let's see. And the Bad Batch?
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, it happens in a Texas wasteland.
Yeah, it's really, that movie, it's a dumb movie. Like, it's not dumb, but it's like,
dumb.
It's poorly, it's, like, Jason Momoa speaks Spanish in the movie, he doesn't speak English, and it's just, it wasn't a really good movie, but...
Yeah, he looks like a cholo with a... Yeah, look at him.
It wasn't a really good movie, but, like, there was that thing where, like, if I'm broke, I can sell you my arm, and you will eat my arm.
Oh, okay.
And I'll have money now. You know, it's weird.
Okay.
And, like, that money is not even gonna last you forever.
Right. So I have to sell something else of my body.
Here's my toe.
Yeah, you know, it's just terrible.
Oh, but yeah, I wanted to bring it up because I thought it was a good scene in terms of Legoshi, like, just learning about carnivores and the whole black market thing. Because he's super innocent and naive, and basically he's like, oh, I guess growing up as a carnivore means I have to give up my innocence and naivete just for hunger, just to satisfy my urges, and it makes him so depressed.
I want to talk about the eggs. That was my favorite scene.
The hen? Oh my gosh, she's hilarious.
The chick that sat next to him. It's something with the H, because they sat in alphabetical order. And she's like, he loves my egg salad. She's like, you're eating my eggs and you don't even know it. And she was just so proud. And she was like, I take pride in my eggs. This is my part-time job. It was great.
Oh man, she was amazing. And like, her part was just like 5-10 minutes of an episode didn't have anything to do with anything else. It was just like a nice break from all the drama.
Pretty much, and it just
kind of a little comedy relief for
you. Yeah, and it was just like, hey, chickens lay eggs, and we got to use these eggs. So I like that they were like, this is her job. She makes these eggs. We feed the animals. It's all, you know, part of the circle of life, pretty much.
Yeah.
A fake circle of life where carnivores can't actually be carnivores.
Well, if you want everything to be fine.
I'm just saying.
Do we want to move on to Haru, the white dwarf rabbit?
Yes, let's move on to Haru, the white dwarf rabbit.
Sunny, I know you had a few things you wanted to say about Haru, so I will let you take the reins.
Excuse me on this. Haru, this little rabbit, she, like, we're introduced to her, she's, like, out, and she's, like, hanging out in the garden, and all of a sudden, someone throws, like, a mattress on her head.
She's being bullied.
She's being bullied, and we don't know why. We're just like, oh, look at the tiny rabbit. Oh, we're so sad for her. Come to find out, she's that chick. She's sleeping with everybody, and all the girls hate her. Her roommates hate her. They're like, stop sleeping with my boyfriend. You're seeing this person. You're seeing that person. And I was just like,
that Harlequin rabbit was awful.
She was a bitch. Yeah.
She was. Oh my god.
She was mad because her soulmate, her, we're an endangered species. We're endangered.
Yeah. Yeah, Haru slept with her her boyfriend, who's also a Harlequin rabbit.
Yeah, I guess she kissed him or something, or quote unquote kissed him.
They made out, and he basically.
They made out.
Oh yeah, and now I guess the other chick's trying to get pregnant or something at school. I don't get it, but that's her mate, and I guess he couldn't put it down. And she's like, "It's because you are a whore, Haru." Pretty much.
Oh, the slut shaming's really bad.
The slut shaming.
But I feel like it's just so common in anime in like these high school settings.
Because there's always a slut in high school.
Well,
I'm sorry, I'm not slut shaming.
There
is always one person who is sexually liberal, sexually progressive, and past what we see as, you know, chastity and modesty and, you know, how we're raised.
Here's what. Everybody wants to assume the moral high ground until they're put in the position, and then they want to keep their sins quiet, but they want to out other people. How about everybody just mind their own business?
Would you mind your own business, okay? But I thought it was funny that she became, the person that she became was because of who she was, like her size. She was a dwarf rabbit, but she was also the runt of the dwarf rabbits. And she was like, I don't want people to take care of me. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. Like, everybody just wants to, you know, help me, and I'm so sick of it, so I'm just gonna fuck everybody. Oh, are we allowed to curse? I'm just gonna sleep with everybody.
Allowed to curse.
Oh, no, you're totally allowed to curse.
All right, she gets it, and it's so awkward. Like, she's sleeping with all of the species, not just rabbits. Like, you got...
But she said she'd never slept with a carnivore before, and Lego, she would have been her first had he not misunderstood what was actually happening. Because I found it really entertaining that he was like, what? Huh? Who?
You
huh?
Want some what?
What? And then he ran away.
He's so awkward.
Yeah. She took her clothes
and
off.
And she's like, because she understood it to mean, because he was like, she was like, what do you want, you know, in return for my flowers?
My flowers.
Or what, you know, what do, will you give me or whatever? I don't even remember. And then he was like, oh, well, and she's like, oh, so it's like that? Okay, you know? It's just like...
So is that what you want? You're not saying it? This is what you want? Yeah, in his naivete, he was like, oh my god, a naked rabbit. I gotta get out of here.
A naked rabbit,
yeah! And she couldn't even remember that she didn't sleep with him.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, because the Harlequin rabbit and her posse rolled up on Haru, knocked her flowers down. Legoshi came in, they ran away. He was like, here's your flowers. And she's like, I don't accept help from people I've slept with. And he was like, what are you talking about, whore? And she's like, oh, yeah.
That's not what he said. I don't even think he was thinking that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I didn't sleep with you. You ran away. I'm interested in you now. And that's how it happened.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Oh. I can't think of anything I wanted to say about Haru. I feel like anything I want to say about her is more in relationship to other characters.
Right.
She doesn't really have her own story. She's just part of someone else's, which it's just the whole trope thing, you know, like girl gets kidnapped, boy has to save her, yada yada.
Yeah.
Talk about her kidnapping. Go ahead. This is for you, Chinlin. Talk about that kidnapping.
Oh my god. Okay, so episode 9 is where, or was it end of episode 8? It was somewhere around that, where she, the kids are in the city and they're setting up for that festival of the meteor because they're honoring their dinosaurs, which I thought was weird, but kind of made sense.
Their ancestors.
Their ancestors, the dinosaurs. And then the meteor wiped them out. Oh god. Okay. But yeah, so she gets kidnapped by the gang of lions, and I was like, "Oh my god. This is not going to end well. They're fucking lions and there's like 10 of them."
Okay, they were rolling real deep.
They were for one little rabbit.
Organized crime. For one little white rabbit. Pure white rabbit.
Oh, and like they had to check that she was completely white, so they asked her to take off her clothes, and I was just like, I hate this. I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, like this is when we're like, why is this happening? Like, why is this even necessary? Why do you have to throw this in? Whoever Mr. Manga writer or Mrs. or the collaboration team, why did this have to be a part of anything?
So I don't even know if it's in the manga because I haven't gotten that far in reading it, but. Yeah, I don't know why this was written in the anime, but they wanted to creep us out, and you know, they met their goal, we were creeped out.
Yeah, they did.
It was like, oh, okay, so our leader, this is a ritual, apparently, and our leader has to have this all white rabbit, and they're like, oh, she really is all white, no spots at all. And I was just like, dude, you're weird,
you're sick. And you just see her there like undressed and like clenching for, you know, closure or something to cover herself up, and we're like, our minds are just like, what did you guys do to her?
But okay, so I didn't feel like there was anything sexual about it, but at the same time it was just like the way that it was portrayed was just like, okay, honestly, you could literally just be like, okay, take off your clothes and turn around. You don't have to be like all up on her and then like, you know, touching her and all that other stuff. Take off your clothes, turn around. Okay, cool, I see you. Cool, put your clothes back on. But no, they had to like drag it out and be like, and then he freaking raising her tail and like looking at her butthole or whatever. And I was just like, that's gross. Like, why is this even, why? What is happening right now?
The whole thing is problematic. Yeah.
Like, this is weird. I don't think lions actually care about what color their prey is, as long as it's tasty or just edible, even.
Pretty much.
And the thing that didn't make sense to me was that they were checking to see if she was all white, no spots. Okay, kind of understand that if you were like planning to sell her, but all you were gonna do was eat her. Like, what are you, what, why does it matter?
Like he was gonna gain some kind of power from her or something.
I think
really
that's
weird.
What they thought. That's what they were like, oh, when you're all white, you're supposed to be more delicious.
You're pure.
Yeah,
resemble.
Something like that.
What?
And apparently that's like rare in their world, so I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about dwarf rabbits in real life, so I don't know like how rare like completely white dwarf rabbits are, but
hello, like magicians have them all the time. White rabbits.
Like, and then I'm thinking, okay, well, there are albino rabbits. So, and those are even more rare. So, what is happening here?
What are you trying to sell
what
us?
What are we doing?
are you trying to sell us here?
But yeah, that was all I had to say about Haru. Her relationship with Legoshi, it's kind of more one-sided, I feel like, with Legoshi. But yeah, did you guys have anything else you wanted to add about Haru?
No.
No? Okay.
Like, as you know, she's not really, like, again, she doesn't really have, we don't know what her actual backstory is other than the bits and pieces that they, like, you know, gave us. But, like, I feel like she's a pretty strong character, like, as a character, because she basically, when they were about to attack Legoshi because he was grabbing her, you know, trying to rescue her at the subway or the train station or whatever, and all these animals are like, what are you doing, blah, 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 blah. They're basically about to freaking, like, pummel him, and she's like, listen, they're gonna kick your ass. Let's go. She grabs his hand, and they bounce, and then she's like, you need to get in front because you're faster. And so, you know, I feel like she's like, she has to teach him how to be, like, you know, the fucking leader, kind of.
Right.
And it's like, alpha. Yeah, like, dude, don't you see what's happening here? You're about to get your ass kicked because you're harassing me in their eyes. Let's go. And he's like,
do it.
I don't, why are we doing this? Because you're gonna die. Like, you know, so I feel like she is kind of responsible for him, like, for, you know, coming to terms with the fact that he needs to, like, man up at certain points. That's all.
No, that's a good point. I totally forgot about that. Do we want to move on to Louis or Juno?
Let's move on to Louis.
Okay. Louis is... he's not my favorite, but he's close to being my favorite. And it's mostly because I really like his backstory. But he's that super popular actor guy who's like... sexy and suave and... oh, they call him a deer in the anime, but I think because he's a male, I think technically he's a stag, right?
Yeah. Is it a stag or a buck?
I was thinking a buck. But I think they're the same thing.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's this super suave and sexy stag, and like when you first like meet him in the anime, everyone's like going all like, oh,
oh my god, Louis,
yes,
sign my autograph, oh my god, it's crazy.
And, like, that's pretty typical in anime for, like, really, like, the character who's supposed to be, like, cool and stuff, but I ate that shit up. What can I say? But, like, there, he's more than that cool guy. He's really serious about acting. He has a lot of pride in what he does and who he is. And it's really weird how he kind of focuses a lot on Legoshi and like pointing out Legoshi's flaws. Like, hey, you're a carnivore. You should act like one. And this is coming from a herbivore.
Yeah, he's just like, why are you worried about who I am?
Yeah.
Business. But then I think it's funny, like, Louis, I think Louis is just, there's something torn about him. Like, he's fighting something inside. And he, like, has to play the perfect guy, like, the perfect student, the perfect actor. You know, he is highly, highly favored by his class. And I guess, was he the B-star last year, or is he trying to be a B-star this year, or both?
Oh, he's trying to be the B-star. So he's trying to get that title.
Right. So, I mean, I guess that's what's going on. But the funny thing is, like, to bring in Haru into Louis and their relationship, they met, like, freshman year, and I felt like he was still trying to be so perfect. Like, he didn't want anybody to see him without his antlers. Like, what was that about? He's just a freshman. Like, why are you so worried?
And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, their antlers do fall off. It's just what happens. So you're basically, I mean, I don't know if the world, that world knows, understands that, yes, antlers fall off every fucking year because they have to regrow their antlers. So he was like, oh, I don't want anybody to know about it. And it was just like, why? Dude, it's puberty. Get a life. Like,
puberty.
Come on. You know, it's just weird. Like, it's the equivalent of stuffing your bra, you know?
If your tits fell off. Every spring, my boobs fall off and I have to grow them back.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, this is just, it's the process that you have to go through being a deer, mm-hmm. You know, and since he seemed to be the only deer there, like, there weren't any others, so I guess maybe he didn't understand.
Right?
And he wasn't raised by deer.
That's true.
So, that's another thing. Maybe he, you know.
His backstory, I enjoyed, we don't know anything about his biological parents, but apparently he was up for the meat market, the black market, I mean. Mm-hmm. And then this random stag just comes in and adopts him and is like, you're going to be my son. You're going to grow up and do great things, which is good because, you know, otherwise he would have been devoured, but...
Yeah.
Like, he's got all this pressure.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, like, his angle, too. Like, he was like, I was raised to be meat. I was raised to be devoured. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't because of, you know, this opportunity, this chance that I had. So, you know, he's trying to fight the good fight, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, I didn't find him to have any, like, ill intent, like, during, you know, mm-hmm. like, some other characters, but... I was just like, you know, I don't know. I just felt like there was something else going on in him. And it was just like, okay, you're trying to be, you know, the next B-star. And yeah, you're, you know.
I think he just wanted to be perfect. I think he wanted to just keep a perfect facade. Like, he's the one that broke up that fight on stage.
Yeah.
With, like, Oshie and Bill.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, dude, cover your back. People need to see your blood. You know, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I think he just was just so smug and dicky that we wanted to hate him. But that he like you said, had no ill intent. He was a decent deer, I guess.
Yeah, even though the way he carried him. Yeah, it was basically just like the way he carried himself was just like, God, I don't like you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you're that guy that guy at school where, like, you've never done anything bad to me, but I still don't like you. Like that, you know.
I just don't like you.
You're that guy.
I don't like you.
Like, I don't know what it is about your face, but I don't like you.
Must be the antlers.
Oh, yeah. And, like, just the way he walks and moves, like, kind of shows off his need to, like, present.
That's what deers are. Deers are, like, you know, they, you see them in the wild, and they just are so graceful, and they strike a pose, mm-hmm. and they look, and they're like, hey, I'm a deer. I don't know how else to explain it, but that's how they are. They're
hey,
like,
I'm a deer.
They're proud, and they're very just, like, you know, they're eating grass.
No, they're not. Like, they're prey. Deer are prey. That's what they are.
That's true.
And... they only use their antlers to fight off other males when it's mating season. That's what antlers are for. Antlers don't do anything else, but they're used in defense, just like a moose.
Yeah.
Or a goat. Like, that's what they're for.
Or a goat.
Goats, but, you know, they fight. They have...
a ram.
Yeah, and goats. Goats, okay. Goats.
Yeah,
too.
They do.
How did you... how did you feel about Lewis towards the end of the season, before he went missing?
I thought it was funny that he tried to redirect Legoshi to Juno. Like, that's where kind of Juno comes into the picture. Because he was just like, Haru's mine. Stay away. This won't work. Let me get you with someone else that's just like you. So, like, I don't know. Like,
but again... a deer and a rabbit.
Right? A deer and a rabbit. That doesn't work. I don't know. I was just like, I was on the fence about him. Like when he came, like he went in to save Haru and he had a gun, right?
He had a gun. Where the fuck did he get that gun?
There were no guns in the series until the end. It's like, oh, where'd you get this gun from, bro? So, I don't know. I'm still on the fence about him. So it was only one season. So, you know, hopefully we
find him.
We find him.
He's located.
Right.
Yeah. I was really surprised when he just completely killed that lion. And then he goes missing, and actually, you know what? I'll save it for, like, the predictions section.
Okay.
Yeah, but we can definitely move on to Juno. It's a good segue, since you just brought up Juno.
Yeah, because I felt like Lewis tried to, you know, introduce Legoshi and her, but then
they'd already met.
They had already met in the hallway because she was being picked on. And mm-hmm. I like Juno, like, she's just very confident in, you know, who she is, and she's aware of her power and, you know, how to be the perfect student.
She is cunning. That's what she is. She's cunning.
That could be it too.
Because she was like, I'm not going to bare my teeth to you. Like, why would I do that? And then I would jeopardize everything that I'm working so hard for.
But she's like on top of this deer doing this. Like, I
think like, what do you think this is going to make me like? She's like, no, I don't want you to like me. I don't care. I'm after him, not you. I'm just letting you know you got some competition over here and you need to watch your back. Watch your back.
I thought it was not cunning. I thought it was straightforward. Like, what's up? This is what's going to happen.
She's cunning because she's not presenting that facade in front of anybody else. She just did it to him. Well, she's not in, like, with everybody in the drama club, she's not like, hey, so I'm going to start doing, like, you know, I'm taking over, I'm going to be the next B-star, and you guys need to step back. She just did it to him. she's not like, oh, well, everybody look at me. You know how, like, she's not Regina George.
Okay.
You know, she's what's her name? The other one. What's her name?
With the dark
Janice
hair?
Ian. Janice Ian. She's like, I'm going to pull some strings, and you're not going to know I'm fucking with you, but I'm going to be fucking with you.
Just know I'm fucking with you. I still, like, I just thought Juno was interesting. She was cunning. She was up to something. I thought it was funny when she pushed up on Haru in the hallway and was like, seriously, is this really going on? Let me smell you. I'm going to sniff you. And she was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And she was like, I'm just making sure you ain't getting my Leoshi. Okay. It doesn't smell like you have, but just know, whore, he's mine.
Why do you keep calling Haru a whore?
Whore.
You just keep calling that poor little bunny a whore.
I'm sorry.
It's for comedic effect.
Obviously, I don't feel that way. She's just a cartoon rabbit.
Weirdo.
But, yeah, she was interesting. So I do want to see what's going to come of it, you know, moving forward. Because honestly, when the series ended, I did want more. Because I was just, like, very in. And I was just like, all right, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? And then it was over. And it was mad.
Yeah, you were just like,
I hate that.
What? I don't like cliffhanger endings. I really don't. I like neat little bows. Like, tie it all up in a neat little bow and then start another story in the next season. But no, you want to drag out season one into, and then in the middle change the story. And then we have to wait for season three for a new, you know, the continuation of this story.
Mm-hmm. So for my thoughts on what may happen in season two, in terms of Lewis, I think, so everyone thinks he's missing, but I think he chose to leave school and he's going to like start his own gang and prey on carnivores. So it's kind of flipped.
Okay.
Really?
Well, we've seen a gang of lions already, so I would be interested in seeing a gang of herbivores.
Okay, eating grass.
I don't know what they're going to do, but
I mean, like,
I think it would be cool.
I can't imagine, because, I mean, like, again, I'm stepping into reality. The stomachs of herbivores are not capable of digesting meat. So it's like, how is that going to work? Like, I'm a cow eating deer. I have 5 stomachs, and it's all to pull up this, 6 stomachs, and it's, you know, it's all it does is continue to the digestive process. How is that going to work with meat? Meat rots. You know what I mean? It's weird. I don't know. I'm just imagining in my head.
maybe Louis is like going to, I don't know, get justice for other herbivores. Like, he's going to go after carnivores who are bad. He's going to be like a vigilante.
I can see him That's being a leader, word. Though. I see him being a good leader. Like, people listen to him and stuff. Honestly, to be quite honest, I thought he was dead. I was like, oh, them lions got him. Like, he just killed the boss, and then the other lions came from him. I think that's what I had, like, thought out in my head. But it does make more sense for, you know, him to rise again and to reappear, and, you know, to see what he's been up to would be very interesting for season 2.
And then 2 other things I think might happen. I think Legoshi might be pressured to become the next Beastar since Louis is missing. Because Juno kind of put the spotlight on him.
Carnivores and herbivores can live together. With our strength, we can protect you. And he was like, get off of me. Like, why are you holding my hand? Like, why are we making this public scene?
Because you're an upperclassman, and I need your clout to basically elevate myself.
Oh, she
to
knows.
The next Beastar.
She knows.
So it's like, okay, I like you because you protected me, but I'm also going to use you to elevate my status as the next Beastar. So, you know, they may be in competition, even though he's probably going to be super reluctant to even, like, go there. And everything that she's doing is going to backfire against her because she's using him, and it's just going to show, it's going to put the spotlight on him and, like, put her in the freaking background. And then she's going to get pissed. And then, then she's going to try to, you know, blame him for the devouring that happened in the first episode.
Oh, right. Back to that. I think they're... I hope, I don't know if they will, but I hope that they'll reveal the murderer from the pilot. I thought it was Bill too, but I feel like it's too predictable.
You're totally right. And the funny thing is, like, they talk about the murder in the first episode, and then they talk about it at the last minutes of the last episode. And I was like, I thought we were trying to figure out a murder.
That's not what the show's about.
Rather than all this other stuff that's been going on, but I'm glad that they did bring it around full circle. That they're like, hey, so don't forget there is a murderer on the loose, and we need to figure out who that is.
It was Bill.
Bill.
Fucking Bill.
Now we have to kill Bill.
How many movies have we referenced on
so many far today?
Did you have other thoughts or predictions on season 2 before we wrap up?
So I think, is Legoshi and Haru going to try and have like a relationship?
Okay, so here's my prediction for Legoshi and Haru. I feel like Legoshi is like, he's grappling with the fact that he has emotions for this rabbit. And meanwhile, she's like, he's cool. Like, you know, he's all right. Like, I feel like she's going to friend zone him. And he's going to get over it and move on. That's just how I feel about it.
Okay. Because it won't work because she wants to put herself in his mouth and, you know.
My body just wants to be in your mouth.
I just want to jump right in your mouth. Like,
what the hell? I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not how prey works.
It's like I open my mouth and you fly in, right? That's the way it works.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many starving predators running around.
Just sit there with your mouth open. Something's going to jump in.
Like, that's insane. That's not how it works. Never seen a rabbit just jump in any animal's mouth.
That's not how it works. Did you see her leg kick foot, like, when they were having lunch? And her leg kept twitching and, like, flying up when he was eating and her leg and her body would jerk. And she's like, what's going on? All of my senses are telling me to run away. But I can't. I'm so enamored. Oh, that was fun.
I'm glad. I'm glad y'all enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good. I don't think there's anything else we want to talk about.
Okay, this is a good ending point. Sunny and Brandy, would you like to share your social media handles again?
Yes. So we are Sunny and Brandy of Book of Lies podcast. And you can find us on all of your podcatchers. You can connect with us on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Instagram and Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast. And hey, if you want to visit us online, even better, at www.bookoflispodcast.com.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming on to the Bingeables podcast. Really appreciate it. This was a fun, excellent conversation.
Yeah, man. This was a lot of fun. We definitely have to do it again.
It was very...
Yeah. Maybe for season two next year.
Okay.
It's a date!
It's a date.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time.
The Bingeables Podcast is produced by patron Raymond G.
And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.